Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Saturday edition of the show. You can join us here. You can bring up anything that you want to discuss. Coming up, we're going to get into Chaos GPT. What is that? Well, if you've been paying any attention to artificial intelligence, you may already have some kind of a clue, but Captain's going to clue us in on what that's all about.
Or will he?
And by the way, with you tonight, it's Ian
Pickles Mountaineer.
The Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
Well, we're going to start out, though, with, of course, April 15th, for a very long time, used to be tax day, and at some point they started changing that up. I'm not really sure, you know, why that is. I don't know what it is this year.
You bitches got my money.
The 17th or the 18th or something like that. Do you guys know why they change it?
Do you know why they tax? I mean,
well, yeah, because they want obedience.
Okay.
So. I mean, they don't really need the money, right? Because they could just print that, and they are printing plenty of money. So, like, they could just abolish.
The longer I'm alive, the more I'm convinced that the only reason the state does anything is to see if it can. Basically, they just increase the monkey dance that they make everybody do.
Well, they get off on it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're like, oh, it used to be a static thing. Let's switch it up so we really confuse these bastards.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to drive someone insane, what you do is you continuously change what the rules are.
Sure.
So they want they don't want any sane people. Sane human beings are dangerous.
Well, plus,
they're powerful.
If the rules
do things.
Yeah, and if the rules are always changing, then you got to consult with an expert. You got to hire a tax expert. Or you got to hire a lawyer or whatever.
And when it comes to taxes, right? They're always like, hey, you owe us money. Really? How much do I owe? Well, you have to figure that out.
Right.
Well, what if I get it wrong? Well, then you're
going to
jail.
Prison.
Right? Like, but they know already. They could just tell you. But they don't. They make you figure it out.
I don't know if they do know. They want you to tell them because they don't know everything that you do. They want you to reveal all of what you do to them. And that's going to get us into the story here that I think Pecos Mountaineer wants to share tonight about cryptocurrency holders apparently aren't being very revealing to the federal government about what they're holding on to or what they're selling.
No.
Yeah.
So, what?
And good for them. That's the way it ought to be.
I would never expect such a thing.
But let's get into the story here, Pecos. What's the details?
So first off, I'd like you guys to do some shot-in-the-dark guesses on what the
shots?
World rate is. You might want to try and guess this one. What the world rate and what the U.S. rate of actually paying your taxes on cryptocurrency is.
I feel like I've seen this headline, so I don't know if mine's going to be a shot in the dark, although I don't recall
what it was. All right,
I'll
take a stab at it. I'll say the world rate is 20%, and the U.S. rate is 5%.
I'm going to go the reverse. I'm going to say the U.S. rate is higher than the world rate because people in the United States
are
obedient people.
Obedient servitors.
I'm going to say 4% U.S., 2% world.
All right. Well, the actual numbers are, in the U.S., 1.62%.
Okay.
And in the world, 0.53%.
I think I win that one, Captain.
Yeah,
you
sure do.
Well, unless we're going by Price is Right rules, which is the closest you can get without going over.
Without going over, right. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well,
so either way, we both went over.
Here's my question, and you may not know the answer. This may not be in the article, but how many taxing governments in the world are requiring anything about cryptocurrency? I mean, we know the IRS apparently puts it like right up on the top of the tax 1040 form, so it's very concerned with cryptocurrency. But what are the other governments of the world?
It tremendously varies.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some places where, so like if you, from what I understand in Hong Kong, there is literally zero capital gains tax.
Mm.
And that's basically what profits on cryptocurrency are considered.
Right. So like because it's considered property.
Right. So you put X number of dollars, or in that case, like yuan, into it, and then when you trade that back out into dollars or yuan or whatever your original thing was, whatever the difference was, is a capital gain.
Or a loss.
Or a loss, right. Which is why up until recently people were doing what's called tax harvesting. So what they do is like, okay, Bitcoin is down. I'm going to sell what I've got, take that as a loss for this year in taxes, and then I'll just buy that and, you know, wait until it can profit again.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Buy it next year, quote unquote, like whenever the calendar passes, mm-hmm. same money you cashed out in.
Yep. But
back in.
From what I understand, they closed that as a possibility, at least in the U.S. Huh. So go figure. I mean, it doesn't take me saying this, but I am not a tax professional. None of this should be taken as financial advice in any way, shape, or form.
Fair enough.
I am just commenting. However,
I'm a tax victim.
Right,
everybody is.
Yeah, that, I mean, I was more along your lines. Like, yeah, maybe 5-20%.
I just went by the 80-20 rule, right? I'm right. The world 20%, 80-20, you right. know. And then U.S., I'm hoping like just more, you know, sort of tax avoiders because you know the United States. But I am wrong. I am very disappointed in the United States of America.
Well, still, though, it was only 1.6 or something like
1.62.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's still pretty good.
Well, you know, you can be proud of, like, 98.34%.
Isn't that, like, what was the world rate? Zero?
0.5.
So the U.S. is 100% more than the world.
That's true. That's
well, hold
true.
On.
Like, we're almost triple the rate of the
rest of the world.
Yeah. Okay, but here's a question about the numbers. Is it 1.6% of all tax returns are identifying that they have cryptocurrency holdings, or is it 1.6% of all estimated cryptocurrency holders who are admitting to it?
The latter. They estimated the number of cryptocurrency holders, and then, of course, the numbers of people who actually filed the returns mm-hmm. is public.
Right.
So they and turns out 1.62%.
Okay.
Of the people that had cryptocurrency filed their cryptocurrency holdings.
We believe. I mean, this is based on surveys, obviously, right? Because that's the only way you can know if somebody has cryptocurrency is if they tell you. And so that would be a poll, I guess.
Let's see. So the estimate was a combination of search terms and, let's see, what was the name of it? Statista's Global Cryptocurrency Report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So a lot of
reputable sources, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do we need to know?
Let's see here.
Taxation is theft, by the way. In case our listeners have never heard of such a thing, taxation technically is extortion.
Extortion. Mm-hmm. That's not as alliterative.
Right. Taxation is theft. That's
all. Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there.
Well, you know, it's like theft, but more violent.
Yeah.
I've heard about these requirements with, you know, reporting cryptocurrency, and it just seems very, very difficult to me.
Near as I can tell, near as I can tell, and this is, you know, my amateur opinion. I'm not a legal attorney or a finance guy. Near as I can tell, if you transduce your cryptocurrency into Federal Reserve notes, the dollar,
yeah,
right, FRNs, USD, if you will, then you are subject to capital gains tax unless it's a loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I understand like the nuts and bolts of it, right? Like, you want to get real simple,
so that's one
the
of
nuts
the
and bolts. There are variations within all of that, mm-hmm. but basically that's my understanding of what the rules kind of are right now.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest differences between ordinary people and the elite, the political and money elite. So normal people, they earn money, and then they spend money.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you can tax both of those things. Now, the elite, what they do is they earn money, but then they reinvest it. And that's not taxable. And then they take out loans and pay their expenses with their loans.
Right. So it's the in your example, it would be buying a piece of property. So you earn some money. You use it to buy a piece of property. You know, you got a mortgage or something like that. You get some equity in the property. You take out a loan against your property, and then you can pay your expenses with that money without incurring a capital gains tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so that same scenario applies to something like Bitcoin, for example. If you got some property, Bitcoin, there are some places out there that will lend you FRNs or whatever country you're in, whatever state-based currency you happen to need or want. There are places out there that will do that for you. Although you've got to pledge oftentimes more than double the amount that you're looking to borrow. So be careful with that out there, people.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine for someone who is active with cryptocurrency how you could possibly even report this. Like, if you wanted to comply with the IRS's reporting rules, how you could even potentially do it. Like, if all you did was just buy Bitcoin one time in a year and then you sold it, okay, that's pretty easy to figure out, right?
Yep.
But if you received Bitcoin as payment for your services on multiple occasions, maybe dozens of them over a period of time, you received donations perhaps in other cryptocurrencies, and you've got 12 different cryptocurrency wallets with a variety of transactions coming into them over the period of a year. I mean, yeah,
no one has written the app for that yet, and the only way that I can think of to do it, if somebody really wanted to, is to track the dollar figure in USD, like if you're transacting in, USD, FRNs, that you need to track the dollar figure at the time of purchase and the dollar figure at the time of sale. Do the math in between as to whether or not you gained something out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Good luck with that, though.
But you're not going to be able to keep an accurate record because, once you have, let's say I'm dollar cost averaging. I'm buying $50 a week. I get paid every week. $50 goes right into Bitcoin. I'm keeping track of how much I bought, but when I sell, I'm not going to sell the exact same amount that I bought.
Well, right. And which Bitcoins are you selling?
Right.
Are you selling the Bitcoins that you bought at X price, or are you selling the Bitcoins you brought at 2X of what the original price was? I mean, the average user could not possibly determine this information.
Yeah.
This is very, very difficult to comply with.
Yeah, well, what I would expect that they would want you to do is just pretend that you hadn't done it in Bitcoin and just mark it up as if you had charged the dollar amount.
I'm sure that's what they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the other thing. It's like, if you're just receiving Bitcoin as payment, you didn't buy Bitcoin with dollars.
That's
true. Were receiving Bitcoin.
Right.
Or somebody gave you some Bitcoin or whatever. You got it as a gift.
I gifted Bitcoin when I was back in Seattle. We used to do this charity show called the All-Star Porn Jam.
Yeah.
And we raised money for the PAWS, which is the no-kill animal shelter, and the Northwest Harvest Food Bank. And the guys that I was jamming with for this particular charity event, because it's a volunteer event, we don't make any money. Nobody gets paid. None of the bar staff. It's all volunteer stuff because all the money goes to these charities. For them participating and jamming with me, I gave them each $20 worth of Bitcoin one year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I followed up with them, several years later, and like, that $20 turned into like $400 or something. You know what I mean? So like,
right.
How do they claim that on their taxes? Do they? I wouldn't, of course, but like,
So what people are apparently doing is absolutely nothing. They're just not revealing any of this information to the IRS. Is this putting these folks in jeopardy?
Well, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the problems. So, like, what they found is that you are more likely to get audited from filing your taxes than from not filing your taxes. Because, basically, it gives them more to work with.
Sure.
So, honestly, I haven't seen any realistic pattern as to who they do and do not go after.
They tend to go after poorer people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk from Joe Biden that they're going to target the rich, but they don't ever end up doing that because they know rich people can hire lawyers, and rich people aren't just going to roll over and, give them everything that they want. They might be more willing to put up a fight.
Yeah.
Whereas, somebody who's middle class or poor, they don't have the money to hire an attorney, and they're just going to, essentially give all of their data over, all their receipts, all the information they have over to the IRS auditor, and then just hope that they show them some, form of mercy.
Which is kind of what happens when the state attacks you anyway, right? I mean, most folks are just kind of like, I'm being attacked by the state. I guess I'll just kind of try and do whatever they want me to do.
Sure, people want it to be over.
Best.
Yeah, they want it to be over with because it's really, frustrating and stressful to be under this kind of attack. I mean, in the case of my case with the Crypto 6, the IRS came to a trial and testified against me without ever having sent me a single notice.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I figured, oh, well, you know, normally what the IRS is going to do if they have a problem is they're going to send you a letter, and then there's going to be, like, a process or a procedure or something like that. And then, you know, arguments can be made, lawyers can be hired, that kind of thing. But no, they just brought criminal charges.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. They will do whatever it is they want to do. If they want to crush you, they're going to crush you.
Quick shout out to balladofthecrypto6.com.
Yeah, that's right.
The trailer, there's two trailers. They still need some funding, so visit balladofthecrypto6.com. See the two new trailers for the documentary. From your perspective, the Crypto Six, that is, including you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. I actually am not involved in the production of it.
Right.
But, I mean, I've given some footage from the
They interviewed you. Cameras, they've interviewed, I believe, everybody.
I'm not listed as a producer on the film.
Right.
Not donated to it. Although I was tempted. I was really happy to see that they actually got a large amount of donation in their first fundraiser, and I guess they're coming back for a little bit more.
Yeah.
So thanks to everybody that's stepped up for that. Yeah, what else do we need to know?
Well, I wanted to say on to your point so the wealthy pay the greatest quantity of tax, but as far as the percentage that they're getting, they pay a very low percentage because they have the ability to, for example, get their personal income in loans, which are not taxable, or to run things through different companies in different countries.
They know all the tricks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they can afford to pay someone to find all of those tricks, to pay someone who already knows all of those tricks, so on and so forth. At the very bottom, of course, you have people who are recipients of government money rather than paying it. And of course, in the middle, you have the massive chunk of people who are not rich enough to find the ways around it, not rich enough to fight it should the IRS come after them, and not poor and still rich enough that they have to pay it. So,
right.
Yeah, as far as this goes, I'd like to just throw a few more numbers out there. So the highest was Finland at 4.09%.
This is the most obedient.
Yeah, the most obedient country in terms of paying their taxes on crypto was Finland, followed by Australia, go figure, at 3.65%. The lowest were, India, Indonesia, and the Philippines at 0.07, 0.04, and 0.03, respectively.
Was Nigeria on the list? Do you have, like, the full list? The only reason I ask is because Nigeria is noteworthy in that it has the most people saying they have cryptocurrencies. Like, it's roughly a third.
I wonder if Venezuela's on that
list. I don't know where they're at, but they should be on there.
Yeah, they didn't. It's not an exhaustive list. They only went through so many countries, and Nigeria is not on it.
Well, and again, maybe the only countries they're going through are the ones that require reporting. Maybe every country they left off the list is because the government just doesn't care in those places, or there's no capital gains or whatever.
It's interesting to me to see, you know, sort of looking, you know, into the future, what that's going to be like, because the government will eventually have to define its terms. Like, they're all very vague and nondescript, and one version of government or one subsection of government, like the SEC says one thing, and the FBI says another thing, and the Treasury Department says another thing.
The IRS says it's property.
Right.
The SEC says almost all cryptos except for Bitcoin are securities.
Right.
The securities, or sorry, the CFTC. It doesn't make sense. The CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, says that several of these very same cryptos that the SEC says are securities, it says are actually commodities, which would align with what the IRS says in that they are property. So it's like, and then the FBI, as you pointed out, says it's currency or money. So, like, there's at least three different opinions amongst these different federal government agencies.
Yeah.
Well, and what's happening is all purely selfish. So the guy who runs the securities exchange, he says it's under his jurisdiction.
That's right.
The guy who runs the commodities says it's under his jurisdiction.
Because they want more power.
Yeah. A realistic way of putting it would be treating it as a money. And so far, the guy who runs money hasn't said it's under his jurisdiction, because basically that's the equivalent of admitting defeat.
You're talking about the Federal Reserve or the Treasury?
No, there's, I forget what it's called, but like they deal with foreign exchange of monies. like their whole thing is monitoring the exchange of different kinds of monies for other kinds of monies.
Well, that's the thing. When you look at the actual, like, if you look up, for instance, the money transmitter statutes, which I'm quite familiar with, given they charged and convicted me of that. And but if you actually look at some of the definitions there, you'll find out that currency is defined as a state-based money. You cannot have a legal a currency under their legal land, under their structure, under their definitions, that is a virtual currency or a decentralized cryptocurrency.
And to be truthful, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies in general, might have the use of money in the way a state-based currency does, but they're more than that. So to me, this is the equivalent of, like, the invention of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before the internet, people were just like, well, we better call on the phone or use a CB radio or watch some TV.
Well, look at Ethereum, for instance, as a good example, right?
Yeah.
It could be used as money. It's really not.
Nope.
It's used as a programming platform to run smart contracts, to do all kinds of different things that have nothing to do with necessarily money.
Right. And so what you have is this whole brand new technology, this new invention,
yes.
Right? It would be like the government trying to pigeonhole TV, the invention of television, into existing telegram.
Right.
Laws.
That's what's actually going on. I'm glad you pointed that out, Captain, because they are trying to shoehorn cryptocurrency over here and over there and over there in the statutes that many of them were written before the internet was even come up with.
Right, yeah.
Right. So these are ancient money transmission, ancient securities statutes. They did not envision this technology, but because of because all of these bureaucrats, these top dogs, are seeking more power, of course they're saying, well, yes, that belongs under our statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to keep pushing for as long as they can. The thing is, Congress hasn't written jack diddly as far as cryptocurrency regulations.
Like there's
they haven't passed it, I guess.
There's a specific law about, I'm trying to remember what the number is. Let's just say it's $10,000. If you carry $10,000 in cash, USD, with you, and you try to exit the country.
Oh, yeah, they're going to take it.
Right? They're going to take it. They're going to confiscate it if they catch you with it.
Right? You must be a drug dealer.
But yeah, because, like, so, but if you have $10,000 in cryptocurrency, you don't actually put that in a suitcase and take it with you, right? You might have evidence that it exists on an app on your phone, but it doesn't exist physically, so you don't actually put it in anything.
No,
you don't carry it.
It doesn't have to exist physically.
Right.
So you can write down your seed phrase, or you can memorize it, or you can, you know, use any method by which you can.
But what I'm saying is the old law was made for the guy with the suitcase with 10 grand trying to get out of the U.S. and into Mexico because he just, I don't know, robbed a bank or something, right? That law can't apply to cryptocurrency because it's a whole different invention.
We're going to continue here. You can share your thoughts with us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Very few of crypto holders are apparently complying with the various different taxing structures.
We will not comply.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court is putting a temporary hold on a federal court ruling that would restrict access to a commonly used abortion pill. Justice Samuel Alito blocked lower court rulings that imposed restrictions on the drug until Wednesday at midnight. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is opting out of the 2024 presidential race. He told Fox News that this wasn't the right time to run. President Biden is ordering the Pentagon to tighten the rules on the handling of sensitive information after classified intelligence documents were leaked online. A Massachusetts Air National Guardsman faces multiple charges under the Espionage Act. State and local leaders were among the hundreds who gathered at the finish line of the Boston Marathon to honor the victims and survivors of the bombing. At the 10th anniversary of the race, three people were killed and hundreds of others were injured. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday show. Phones are open here. You can join us. We are talking about the very pleasing news, I think you could say, that cryptocurrency holders are not telling the government about it.
I'm sorry,
it.
I believe it's pronounced hodlers.
Yeah, some people say that.
Hodlers?
I feel like that's a little too insider. For people that are out there listening, they'd be like, what are they saying? It's a thing. Somebody mistyped hold at some point.
Right, yeah, they spelled it H-O-D-L.
Like the internet would do, it has stuck. So, anyway, we're talking about that.
We have waited hours, because you can hold many things, but you can hodl only cryptocurrency.
If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160, and I believe the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate are pretty big fans of cryptocurrency. I think they have...
If you want to move to the free state... Everybody knows the jingle.
I think that they have actually...
I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
...assisted in people with cryptocurrency buying houses.
Yes.
I believe that has happened more than once.
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful things about living in New Hampshire is that you can actually live your life with cryptocurrency.
The last time I saw Mark Warden, who I believe runs Porcupine Real Estate, I started to ask him about it because I wanted to know, and then we got sidetracked, and he started talking to some other people, so I never got to ask him about it. I wanted to ask
about
him
crypto?
About how I have some interest in doing some real estate stuff.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know what was the process like. Did the person have to take their crypto, put it in some sort of escrow, and then did the, the buyer and the seller and the bank, did they all have to, like, when you buy real estate and, like, you try to take out a mortgage, the banks get all up in your britches.
Right.
I mean, all up in your britches. Mm-hmm. They want everything, all your bank accounts, all your tax returns, everything. Like, you got to, it's like opening your barn door and showing them your junk, right? Yeah. They want all of it. And so, like, I'm curious as to what that process looked like. And so hopefully I'll get to talk to them about it again.
Well, one of the things you can do right now in regards to Porcupine Real Estate, because if you're interested in moving to New Hampshire, you've been thinking about the migration of freedom-loving, libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist types, people that love liberty, that are moving here, and you know this is a real thing, but you got to get, you want to get some more details on what's actually happening here. They're going to do a series of webinars. They're actually doing them. They've already done a few, and there's more coming, including on gun freedoms here in New Hampshire, medical freedoms, political freedom victories. These are some of the topics they're going to be focusing on. Also, of course, because they're Porcupine Real Estate, they're going to help you out on how to move to the free state, like tips and finding housing.
It.
So you can go right now to move.freetalklive.com, sign up for free, and you can indicate which of these webinars you want to attend. I presume you can attend more than one as well if you like. Move.freetalklive.com is a little URL we set up. It'll take you right over to the registration page at Porcupine Real Estate. And you can also visit their YouTube channel. Maybe you want to get a feel for what these are like. They've got their previous seminars or webinars that are there
to
view.
That is such a great thing to do. Talk about taking advantage of the niche market.
Yeah. Right?
That's beautiful. I love it.
They do a great job. Their YouTube channel is Porcupine Real Estate, so if you want to go there and check that out. And again, move.freetalklive.com to sign up for the upcoming webinars. We go to your calls and thoughts. Major Payne is on the line. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Bata. Hey, guys. Good evening.
Hey, what's on your mind?
So, let's see. I have some very interesting and upsetting news on this abortion pill methoprestone. I'll get to that here in a second. But these EUVs, electric vehicles that they're trying to shove down our throats, well, the people that can afford them obviously have disposable income, right? And they would probably be more inclined to take road trips. Well, they are seriously dissatisfied with the hassle of this particular critter.
Oh, I bet. Trying to find the charging stations and then having to wait around for God knows how long in order to actually use the car again. What? Do you guys have any idea how long these things take? I don't.
No clue.
I presume it's got to be at least an hour, if not a few hours, right, to charge one of these things?
I'm thinking it's three, depending on the mileage of the vehicle.
And, like, EVs, too, like, with a regular car, like, I can just carry a can with an extra couple gallons of gas if I run out of gas.
Right.
Oh, look, with an EV, if you run out of electricity,
Well, let's say you're doing a road trip and you got a car full of kids and whatnot. And you pull into the gas station, you can have them fed, feed, and out of there in 15, 20 minutes. Right? Now, if you got to plug this critter in and charge it, you got crazy kids going to get in trouble, maybe run over, running around a parking lot for 2 hours.
Well, according to, what is this, usnews.com, it may be that you can go to one of these superchargers, I guess, like for Tesla, for instance.
And how common are those?
I don't know. I think I've seen some of them around here in New Hampshire, but what did I see? I thought I saw 50. Okay, here it says Tesla supercharging can add up to, so that doesn't mean the number, right? Like up to 200 miles of range in as little as 15 minutes. So whether that's really, what you get out of it, I don't know.
If you can afford a Tesla, that's awesome. But most of the things that are going to get crammed down the regular person's throat are the little despoilable toilettes and such like that.
Well, and that's really part of the reason that people get these things is to show off. Like, look how environmentally conscious I am.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I have the money to be environmentally conscious.
No, the same people that bought the Prius 20 years ago or 15, whatever it was.
I believe South Park coined the term smug in relation to people who own the electric hybrid vehicles.
I love some of the images. I saw one this week, and I don't know where it was taken, but it had a Tesla charger, backed by a diesel generator sitting right behind it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've seen those.
We gotta pull out what used to power the army camp to fire up our gizmo.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to point out that the United States military is by far, by orders of magnitude, the largest polluter, right? By any measure, by even the liberals' own standards of measuring, you know, pollution and carbon footprint and all that kind of thing. And yet we hear crickets when it comes to what is the military doing to reduce their carbon.
Yeah, I've literally never heard anyone... Sorry, go ahead.
I said you won't hear crickets if that generator's running.
Yeah,
I've literally never heard any of the people who are concerned with the environment and global warming and all of that. I've never heard them even mention the military.
Yeah.
And I think libertarians are the only ones who know that they're the biggest polluters.
I mentioned it to an obvious liberal one time. They were like, no, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. They're totally not the largest polluter. Well, I'm like, yeah, look it up, dude.
Well, and one of the reasons that this never gets reported on or checked in any way, shape, or form is that every agreement that governments make we will have net zero by this date or any of that stuff, they always completely exclude the militaries of every country. And since it's not part of their agreements, then there's no political benefit for talking about that, so none of the people on the political left ever hear about it.
So it's worth adding here to the topic, Major, according to the same story I was looking at from cars.usnews.com. Again, just talking about the Teslas. I don't know about the other ones here, but it sounds like a mobile connector, so like just let you plug into any old 120-volt wall outlet. You're only going to get 3 miles per hour of charging, so you'll have to leave that one overnight, if not an entire day. If you get a 240 volt outlet charger for some other adapter, then you can get 30 miles of range per hour. And then they have a special connector for $400 that you can get 44 miles of range per hour. So there's a wide range of different options here.
That is a lot of time for not a lot of distance, though.
Yeah, and then they do add to the point about the supercharger, which says can add up to 200 miles of range in as little as 15 minutes. They point out that some superchargers can charge it up to 250 kilowatts, but others can only deliver 90 to 150, so it's going to depend. You don't know when you roll up to one of these things how quick it's going to go. So you may be sitting there for an hour, you may be sitting there for 30 or 40 minutes or something like that to get a decent charge out of one of these things. So
the only solution that, of course, the government won't ever implement that I can see to this type of a problem is to, instead of doing what they're doing right now, is they're trying to make these charging stations look like a gas pump, right? Like you pull in a debit card, credit card, it screams at you with some advertisements while you're waiting for it to charge like the modern pumps do. The only solution I see that, of course, will never be implemented is to change that model to the propane exchange model. Right, so if I have an empty, thing of propane for my grill out on the deck, I could just take that and hand them the empty one. They hand me a new one instead of me sitting there waiting for them to fill it up. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have one of these EVs, what they need to do is make the battery packs universal for every vehicle,
too big,
so that you could pull in to the station, eject your current battery pack and insert a new battery pack and be on your way.
Yeah, maybe in 5 or 10 years or something they can do that. But my understanding is these batteries are the heaviest part of the car. Right. You ain't swapping that thing out. No way, no how.
Yeah.
No, these things are not only the heaviest part of the car, they're buried deepest in the car.
And they're super expensive.
Well, and
you keep this centrifugal force down.
I didn't say it was a feasible solution. I said it was a solution.
Right. Increase roll factor.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that these are not designed for a long-distance journey. These are designed for your daily commute. And they're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if you're well-to-do enough to get one of these, you're probably just going to fly wherever you're going to vacation.
That's a good point.
Major, as far as your journeys, the best thing is a horse.
Thanks for the call tonight,
man. Methoprestone. I got to touch on it. The methoprestone, this abortion pill that's going through all this controversy.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Well, evidently this is a two-part process with these pills. The methoprestone, which they got banned in Texas, kills the baby.
Okay. The fetus, you mean.
And then the second medication causes uterine contractions, which makes you expel the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very false win for the pro-lifers, because if you don't kill the baby, and then they get the second pill, which they still have access to, causes these uterine contractions, this poor woman is going to spit her live baby into the toilet and then be confronted with this conundrum forever. Should I have flushed it down or buried it in a shoebox in the backyard? I mean, can you imagine the load that this would put upon a woman?
No, I can't, but I do understand that you know, most women who aren't like psychopaths, are they wrestle with the question of should they or should they not have an abortion. I don't think it's an easy decision for them to make. Many of them do, you know, think about it for a very, very long time, in some cases for the rest of their lives. But in some cases, it's an appropriate thing to do, and it's their body, so I think they should be able to do it. But you mentioned this drug. I mean, this apparently has been around for a very long time. This isn't some sort of new development. According to Wikipedia, mifepristone is also known as RU486, which I remember hearing about many years ago, and the history of it goes back to apparently the 1980s. So why is this in the news now? Is it just because Texas has recently banned it?
Well, evidently, this thing was pushed through the FDA with very low testing,
mm-hmm.
just like the damn shot that they just tried to give us all for COVID. They just rushed it through and said, yeah, this is a good thing because we got to kill the babies because we don't want no more people.
Oh, okay. By the way, I'm seeing a headline here from the New York Times from, looks like last week. Texas judge invalidates the FDA approval of the abortion pill. So there have been some recent moves on this. However, the U.S. Supreme Court has, this is breaking news as of this evening or yesterday evening, the Supreme Court has issued an administrative stay in the Texas case involving limited access to the abortion drug.
I saw that headline.
Mifepristone.
Well, there's another court in Washington that has tried to revive it. I'm not sure the particulars.
D.C. or Washington State?
State.
Okay.
There you go, Major Payne. Thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for the heads up
I have a question.
Story. Yeah.
What happens if a dude takes one of these pills or two of these pills?
I don't know. I wouldn't try that.
I only say that because I don't know. Have you ever heard of like a reverse roofie?
What would that
mean? That's where a vindictive person spikes somebody else's beverage with something to get back at them for when they suspect that they have been roofied by a person, particularly if the law doesn't do anything about it, that kind of a thing. So it's a revenge tactic from a vindictive person. And so, you know, I wouldn't put it past human beings, some bitter lady to, you know, pop something into, you know, her former boyfriend's cocktail to get back at him. People are very vindictive and they do evil things all the time. I wouldn't put it past anybody to do that.
According to the NPR story about this, the Supreme Court issued a temporary stay in response to the Justice Department's emergency appeal of the Texas decision, and then had that not happened, lower court orders limiting access to mifepristone would have gone into effect. So the Texas court tried to, I guess it was a federal Texas judge, tried to limit that. Maybe it was a state court. That's not clear according to this story, but now that has been frozen, at least for the time being.
Well, I don't find court appealing at all.
Indeed. Let's continue here. Bad Slave on the line in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yep, that's what we do. What's on your mind tonight?
RU 486 has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think its mechanism is to make it either unattached or not able to attach the placenta to the inside of the uterus.
Right, the wall.
Is this the one that they called Plan B, or is that a different one? Is this the one that you're supposed to take, like, the next day?
I think it's the same thing.
After you've had sex?
Right, that is actually often called Plan B. And the truth is, that many pregnancies end naturally by their not being able to, attach a placenta.
Nine out of ten, as I understand, don't come to term.
And so, I mean, you know, in my mind, if you're using this IU-486 and the, you know, the flushing pill mm-hmm. to flush out the remains, is a better choice. I mean, I'm not happy with.
You mean it's a better choice than a later term abortion?
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. And I mean, if you could reduce all the abortions to that sort of thing, and I don't know that you would in the first place to have as many of them. And
you would think that people would support it. I mean, people that are anti-abortion would be more supportive of this, but these people are completely irrational and unreasonable. I mean, they just want to tell people what to do with their bodies, and they are against what you're referring to here is, you know, one of the most reasonable things that you can do. You've barely given this thing any time to exist before you're knocking it out.
Those are two different things. Plan B is levonorgestrel, and okay. It only works for 3 days. Mm. Mifepristone works for up to 10 weeks.
Ah, okay.
So,
Thanks for that clarification.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it was targeted in Texas is because it's a much later term thing.
Right, and because Texas is not known for giving a damn about people's personal freedoms, it is number 49 on the list of...
49?
Yeah, it's really bad. On the list of personal freedoms. So when you look at the Freedom in the 50 States
study... like, that seems... Yeah, like, I would expect Texas to be at least middling.
Nope.
The thing that bothers me about all of the states that are going after abortion is that they're not honest about it. If they were being honest about it, then charge them with murder. Like, look, if you believe that this is a complete human being with a right to their own body and so on and so forth, and that they have been murdered by this woman and this doctor, then charge it as murder. That has never happened, and I doubt it will ever happen, and that would be the honest way of going about this.
And also insane, because, you know, then you're putting people in prison for, you know, life or whatever.
I wouldn't go that far. So the thing
that's usually what happens to people convicted of murder.
I don't know. I'm not saying about the that wouldn't be the end of it. I'm saying, like, I wouldn't call it insane because it's very difficult to figure out exactly when life does begin. And one of the...
Well, it would be up to a jury.
Yeah.
I mean, as we saw in the Crypto 6 case, doesn't matter what the facts are that are put out. If the jury wants to send you up the river,
you're
going to do it. So if you're in Idaho or whatever,
let's play the game of in the absence of government in a completely voluntary society, who makes this decision? Oh, the individuals. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So every individual gets to make this decision on their own.
Thank you, Bad Slave, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, in the absence of government, we would have a market for justice. And some justice systems would say that you have the right to your life at conception. Some justice systems would say you have the right to your life at first breath.
And this is why getting rid of the United States is a good idea, and having 50 or however many different countries that people can go to, mm-hmm. where if you want to live in a place like Texas, where it is likely that a jury will send you to prison or whatever for murder if you have an abortion, you ought to live there.
Right.
And then if you want to live in California, where you can have an abortion all the way up to the day before birth or whatever, you know, the rules they would have there are, you should be able to live there as well. And then everything in between. There should be different societies that have, and there would be different societies, and that's what the states should have the freedom to do. But now you get the federal government stepping in and getting involved. But it's, of course, not just Texas.
Yeah, and one of the things that would happen in that system is that you would actually come up with something more reasonable, because these different justice systems would have to figure out who they do and do not deal with, whose contracts they do and do not honor. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you might very well have, like, okay, well, you and yours and mine disagree on where life begins, but we are both absolute about murder. so okay, I will work with you this much. Whereas this other system that's like, well, if it's this many weeks and the technology allows them to exist outside the mother's body at that time, then you're not allowed to do it. And I might go, oh, well, they're not consistent at all. And since they're inconsistent, we're not going to work with them. Or that might be a more effective thing, and we would actually have the market deciding these things.
Well, one thing's for sure, people are never going to agree on this issue. It won't matter what the science, quote-unquote, the science says, or because there will always be different opinions in science, right?
Also known as the money.
And people will always have different opinions based on their religious beliefs and all that. So this is an issue that will never be settled at a national level. There will always be struggle over this. There will always be hatred directed at different groups over this. But since we're talking about it, since he brought it up here, there's a story here from Huffington Post that Idaho just looks like a week ago became the first state to implement an interstate travel restriction on abortion care. Now, this is at this time only applying to teenagers, people under the age of consent. So it's not applying to everybody that wants to leave Idaho to get an abortion. But Governor Brad Little signed a law that bans minors from traveling out of state for abortions without parental consent.
Oh, finally, a governor with an appropriate political name.
It creates a new felony crime called abortion trafficking, which the legislation defines as, quote, an adult who, with the intent to conceal an abortion from the parents or guardian of a pregnant, unemancipated minor, either procures an abortion or obtains an abortion-inducing drug for the minor. So this could be 2 to 5 years in prison for, quote, recruiting, harboring, or transporting the pregnant minor within the state. Commits the crime of abortion trafficking.
And again, this makes no sense. Look, if this is a human being that has the right not to be murdered, then you need to charge them with murder and with accomplice to murder. Now, if, on the other hand, this is not a human being, but actually an organ of the person who is carrying it, well, then it's their body. They get to do with it what they like.
They are clarifying that this doesn't restrict interstate travel for adults, but it does give an indicator of what some people would want to happen, right? Like, because there are people out there who would say, yes, adults should be prohibited from traveling across state lines in order to
These things are historically accurate. These used to be in place. I think it was Wisconsin and Illinois when I was growing up. Like, there were people traveling across the border to get abortions because it was illegal in one state, legal in the other, and they were trying to figure out how to make that a crime.
Seems like it should be treated like taking someone out to international waters to shoot them, if you believe that this is a person that has a right to life.
If you want to comment, the number is 603-283-6160. Hour number two is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.